Yeah, I was definitely engaged. I had the ring on my finger, everything. It was
okay.
Like,
you're like, no, let's go. Let's do this.
Yeah, let's pick a date. Let's go.
Our guest today is stand-up comedian, actor, host, and storyteller and speaker, Horace H.B. Sanders. Horace has worked with Dave Chappelle, J.B. Smoove, the late, great Bernie Mac, Leanne Rimes, Anita Baker, Kevin Hart, Chris Rock, and the late, great Aretha Franklin. And he won Star Search, y'all. You know, he won. He's the undisputed champion. Horace, welcome. How are you?
Hi. I'm good. Thanks for having me, Julie.
No worries. Here. Good. So did you read it?
So I got through four chapters.
Okay.
And I'm glad to say that I don't have to embellish. And you're like, oh, it was a great read. Like, I don't have to.
No, I want to know. I want the real, yeah. Real. What do you think?
So the title, you know, I'm a pretty avid reader. The title was like, well, I'm assuming it's about vampires. But how you jumped into it, I like the fact, I like the first person. Saying it from his perspective, and then with the jump, and it wasn't too much jumping, it was enough to get me intrigued. Like, I really wanted to keep reading it.
Okay.
Right. I'm mad I didn't get to chapter. I'm glad I got to two other chapters to catch up with. But
good. Yeah. I'm glad you liked it. That's the most important part to me, is that Are you engaged? Did you like it? Does it make sense? Do you want to know him anymore, or do you like, I hate this guy? I mean, I need to know.
Yeah, I was definitely engaged. I had the ring on my finger, everything. It was
okay.
Like,
you're like, no, let's go. Let's do this.
Yeah, let's pick a date. Let's go.
I know.
And would it was vague it? Enough. It was vague enough. But get married?
Yeah. Would you?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you were saying it was vague enough?
It was vague enough to leave room for your mind to wander, because reading is different. You know, people get used to television and film, but like, reading is different. A novel is different. So you want to have room for your mind to explore. It's like, wonder, where are we going with this? And actually the vagueness and the mystery goes with the whole, my idea of vampires, you know, Having that. And it's wondering, okay, how much is it, or is he, or is it, you know, okay, I'm getting some background information. It lets me be a detective as well, discover it.
I think when you read, you build your own world. So It's even better than television or a movie right away, because so many times you read a book and you're like, oh, that's not, you see the movie and you're like, that's not really how I imagined it. And in my head, It was so much better. And You get excited when someone makes something that kind of matches anything that's going on in your head.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, thank you for the critique. I really, really appreciate that. I do have a letter as well. Someone asked me what actor, past or present, does Andre, my protagonist, favor. Who would you say? Who's in your head? Who do you think he might be? Who would play him, would you think?
As the adult or as the... the child or the
either. Young. Okay. Either. Yeah.
Adult. Okay. As an adult, let me think, who would be good? So it's gotta be somebody that can be athletic, definitely.
Yes.
Believable. Their looks have to be able to range, because with having that ability, I'm assuming, is to look young and look old at the same time.
Right.
Mature.
Right.
Maybe. And I don't like to go with just the typical people, everybody that, you know,
sure,
just who's popular.
Because, you know, it's kind of based on the whole, you know, black don't crack. You know, every time you tell somebody your age, they're like, what? So he's kind of been getting away with that for, you know, a while now. And, you know, He's getting to the point where, you know, people are like, you can't really be that old.
Yeah, I've seen you for a minute. Black don't crack and beige don't age.
It doesn't.
You got to keep us in there, too.
I know, right?
I'm good with actors, too. Let me think. I mean, Who are you thinking? From a TV show?
From everything.
Oh, are you saying from everything? Who are you thinking?
I was thinking kind of a Michael Ealy kind of guy, maybe.
I could see that.
Yeah, because he's not 20 anymore, but he's also not, 85 either.
Yeah.
Someone that you, maybe he's too old for me, or some young person might be like, maybe he's too old and I don't care kind of situation. Mm-hmm. Once you get into, get into the novel a little bit more, there's always these propositions that are being made to people. It's also about that. It's like, what would you do? Like, what would you actually do for money? What would you actually do to keep your status and your life going the way that it is? Where are you willing to sacrifice in your life? Like, how far are you going to go before you say, you know what, that's enough? That's really mostly what it's about, because a lot of people have to make a lot of sacrifices in this book. Mm-hmm. And then there'll be a revelation, what am I actually doing? You get offered all these things and you're like, is that really what you want?
That's good. That's a good storyline.
Thanks.
And I think with Michael, he could play because there's an ambivalence to the character too in the beginning as he's discovering things.
Right.
But also you can tell he knows more than he's divulging at the time. So you got to be able to.
Yes.
To be patient in your delivery.
Yes. It's kind of like when you know that you're not normal, but you don't really want to let people know that you're not normal in that kind of way. Mm-hmm. You're just trying to live your life. And then you kind of skirt around the issues that you know that you probably need to be dealing with, but you don't. Mm-hmm. So he's that guy as well, which I think people can relate to. It's like, I really should be concentrating on this, but I'm just going to keep moving on and working. I'm not going to think about it. So Horace, have you ever had anything scary happen to you? Any scary experiences, any fears, recurrent dreams?
So a couple of things. It's funny, I used to have a recurring dream often about vampires.
Oh my gosh, me too. Yeah. But go ahead, I want to hear yours.
So I could always tell if something wasn't right in my life. Mm-hmm. When I got older, if I started dreaming about vampires again, like it's something I need to get out of my life. Either someone or something, I need to get my direction. It would generally come back to me, but me moving in a way, either away from someone or situations, I need to, or just get my focus on.
So
and it would get to the point.
What was the dream like?
I would end up being the last person on Earth and everybody's turned into vampires. And they're literally chasing me, even to the point where it's kind of like, I think the last one I can remember, I was climbing up through like a lighthouse, but it was extremely tall. You go up the steps and you get to that last little door window where you can get out. And it was like, I'm going through that door and they're coming up as far as you can look out, past the trees and just the shrubbery and everything, you see vampires. And it's just me left and they're coming for me. And I wake up and it's like, you got to get your life together. You got to get this right. This is what's waiting on you.
That's a good one. Oh my gosh. Thank you for sharing that. I have also have a recurring dream that I've probably had probably about 300 times in my life. And it is about vampires. It started when I was a little girl, and at first it was about bears. So I would wake up out of my bed just suddenly, and all of a sudden I'm running for my life. I've had this dream since I was about 5. I'm running for my life, and behind me are these bears, and they're like right here about to like bite me, eat me. Mm-hmm. And I'm running to my grandmother's house. I go get to my grandmother's house. I run up the stairs. I burst in, and there's one of those old timey mirrors, like the big tall ones. Okay. And my grandmother is sitting next to this, and I see her, and we call my grandmother Nanny. I'm like, Nanny, Nanny, oh my God. Oh,
grandma Nanny too. Oh.
Okay. It's like, Nanny, help me, help me. And she gets up, she turns around, and she's a freaking bear. And she grabs me by the shoulders, and she turns me to the mirror, and I'm a bear too. And all of a sudden, they stop chasing me, and I calm down. But as I got older, the dream changed drastically. It was a million times scarier. And instead of bears, it was vampires. And they're chasing me. It's like dark. It's scary. I'm running for my life. I can barely breathe. I burst in. My grandmother's there. I see her. She's a vampire. She turns me around. I'm a vampire too. And then I calm down. And I have had that dream so many times that I can just see it. Like I could see it now. And it's like, I haven't had it in a while, but I had it so much through my life. And since then, I've kind of been obsessed with vampires just because. Because they're transformative. I kind of love it. I just thought it was interesting. And the recurring dreams, when you ask people about the recurring dreams, most of us have something. And it, I think it does tell us, hey, you need to wake up and get something together. Something is bothering you if you're having this dream again. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting that you have a recurring vampire dream. That I can see that. I can see you going up into this lighthouse and looking out and seeing these vampires. And you're like, huh, I can't change. That's pretty wild.
Yeah. And I've had that since I was little. It really? Might not always be the lighthouse, but it was consistently since I was little.
Oh my gosh.
I can remember having it repeatedly.
Really?
Yeah. And I called our grandma nanny too. that dream about the vampires, and then I would have another one similarly, either it would be about the devil or the devil's dog. And that used to be, I would get those reoccurring too.
Wow. What would happen in that?
With the dog, it would come and it would come to attack you. I saw it attack people, and it would like rip up your body.
Oh my gosh!
Then you see your spirit. Then it would rip up your spirit. And what's left is the soul. And I know it was trying to come for me.
Oh my gosh!
The one with the devil, it would either be the devil himself or demonic spirits. And I would this one, my grandmother was in this one, so I was getting chased through different streets and side streets and everything. And I ran into this house, and it was kind of a home. It was a home where it was a large cellar basement, like really large, kind of like the basement looked on the Cosby Show, but taller. So you had these layers of steps to come down. Mm-hmm. So I come in, or even kind of like, it makes sense, on like Abbott and Costello meets Dracula. And it had the large cellar, the stairs to go down.
Yeah.
So bring it back home, vampires.
I remember.
So I ran down the steps, and down there it was a group of people all in a circle holding hands. So they were kind of floating in the air, and my grandmother was in there. And so I could see all of them and everybody, and it's like a glow and aura around them. So the devil was chasing me, and I somehow jump up and I get in the circle. And I'm up there floating too. And they're not looking at him, but I can see him jumping up, but he can't get to me.
Oh.
As long as I'm in the circle, I'm safe and I'm complete. And I remember that I had that quite a few times.
Oh my gosh.
And that would really scare me.
It's so interesting that human beings even have these dreams. It's like, what is our brain doing? What is this about? Why am I trying to scare me? You know, that's what I wonder. It's like, what am I doing here? What's up? So, Horace, what have you got going on right now? What have you got up? What are your plans?
2023 is off to a great start. I shot a comedy special last year in Oregon with Dry Bar Comedy.
Nice.
And it's being released this month.
I look forward to that.
Yeah, it's released. They release it part. They release clips at first, so you'll get 2-3 minute clip segments. But you can go onto their website if you log on and join drybarcomedy.com.
Okay,
you can get to see the whole thing. But it's also on Amazon Prime. It's on YouTube. It's on Facebook. Like, so they'll be releasing it on all these different platforms. Segments of it, and there's a lot of comedians to choose from. But check me out.
Definitely. I'll put a link on the site to that for sure. Yeah, I look forward to that. So, Any other questions? Anything else that's happening? That sounds really exciting. I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. That's one of the things that as stand-ups, we want to get to that point where we're releasing specials. And it's funny, by the time you shoot it and you come out with it, you're on new material and other things.
That's how it is, isn't it? Yeah. That's how it is. It's like, that's past now, but oh, wait, I have to talk about it, but I'm on to the new. But you're, Horace, you're so funny. I've looked at so many. I followed your career, and you're hysterical. I love your type of comedy and your type of humor. It is so positive, and just it just brightens my day to listen to your material. And even the stories that you told that I saw, those were really, really good. So
thanks.
Congratulations on, you know, being such a great entertainer and performer.
Thanks. I'm looking to do and scheduled to do more of the storytelling too.
Okay.
I didn't realize how impactful it was. It's one of those things. I knew the comedy. I've been doing that longer. And I knew the acting side. But right. I didn't realize I was as good a storyteller as I am.
No, you really are really good. It's like you're in the story. You're like waiting on what's going to happen. And I enjoyed the stories that I saw. I think it was on Moth.
Yeah.
Yes.
Moth.org.
Right. Moth.org. They have some really, really great stories that you told. I enjoyed that very, very much. Well, I really appreciate you coming on my little podcast. It's a goodbye to this story because it's called My Vampire Novel for two reasons. Because it is about my vampire novel called Flesh and Blood, but also the double meaning is that it's my vampire novel. It sucks all of my attention and energy from all of my other projects that I have going on. I know. It is. It's like I go to work on something else. I have a spy novel that I've been working on too, but it's like, well, yeah, I like this, but really let's work on Flesh and Blood some more. So it just sucks all the attention. And it's so, I'm like, you know what? You're getting put to bed. It's got to end. I'm finishing it. It's going to be finished by February 14th, 2023. Done, okay. Dusted, done. The Valentine's. Line is, yes, the line is drawn under it. I'm not working on it anymore. I've been working on it too long.
You're putting a stake in it, huh?
I'm putting a stake in the heart of this book. I love it, but it has to die. You know, it's like, I love you, but you have to die.
That's true love right there.
It is, right? So romantic.
That's funny. On Valentine's Day.
Yeah, so I really, really appreciate you reading it. And if you want more chapters, I'll send them to you.
Absolutely. Good. You got me hooked now.
Oh, good.
But the first bite is in. I'm sure the other two are coming.
Well,
still three bites, right? Three bites in here.
Well, you know, not. I have a whole different vampire world. You know, you have to create a different vampire world than everybody else's vampire world, which is so interesting to me. Did you know that vampires became popular because of tuberculosis? Did you know that?
I did not.
Yes, it was because people looked like they were getting the life sucked out of them when they had tuberculosis. There's just like all this vampire lore as to like Bram Stoker was alive during the time when everybody was dying of TB. There's a lot of references to that. I think it sparked a lot of imagination in a lot of different people. So,
okay. I can see that.
Yeah. I think just the way they look and how gaunt they are. And then certain diseases, people wouldn't decompose. And a long time ago, people didn't really understand about bodies and they didn't understand anything. They didn't even know about microbes, right? So they were looking at bodies and were like, oh man, you know, this person still looks like they're alive. And they're not, they're dead, but they don't know.
Yeah,
it was wild.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So thanks for coming on. I'll send you more chapters. Thanks for having me. I'm glad you're interested. And I really, really am looking forward to your stand-up special. Definitely.
Thank you. It's all called You Played Yourself.
You Played Yourself. Oh, man. How many times have you said that? You played yourself.
Oh, man. Before DJ Khaled, I had that. Absolutely. And unfortunately, I played myself quite a few times.
Oh, man. I think we all do.
Yeah, it's universal.
It's a human condition. You know, human beings are, you know, we're something else. You know, we walk into walls. We play ourselves. We don't listen. You know how it is.
It's talking on a Zoom call with the mute button still on.
I know. Oh, man, if this mute button is on, I don't know. That would be bad. That would be a bad. I'd be so mad at myself. That's fine. Well, thanks again. And good luck to you and all that you do.
Likewise. All the best. Thanks for having me on your podcast. I'm honored to be your guest. And to know you, we go back like cornrows.
I know, right? Cast tech.
DT, baby.